The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 17. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on December 13th, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sattva Svadharmam Sharana Ambujam Hare Vajam Upakva Atta Patet Tata Yadi Yatra Kva Va Abhadram Abhut Amusha Kim Ka Va Arta Apto Abhajatam Svadharmata Svakta Svadharmam Charanam Bhujam Hare Bhujam Napakpo Tapatet Tato Yadi Yatra ka vabhadram abhud amushyakim
Yatra vabhadram abhud amushyakim
Kavarta apto bhajatam svadharmata
Kavarta apto bhajatam svadharmata
Takt vasvadharmam charanam bhujam hare
Vasvadharmam charanam bhujam hare
Pajanna bhakpota patet yato yadi
Pajanna bhakpota patet yato yadi
Yatakva bhadram abhudha moushyakim
Yatakva bhadram abhudha moushyakim
Kavarta apto bhajatam svadharmata
Kavarta apto bhajatam svadharmata
Shaktava
Having forsaken
Svadharmam,
one's own occupational engagement.
Charana Ambujam,
the lotus feet.
Hare, of Hari, the Lord. Bhajam, in the course of devotional service. Apakva, immature. Atta, for the matter of. Patate, falls down. Tata, from that place. Yadi, if. Yatra, whereupon. Kva, what sort of. Va, or. Used sarcastically. Abhadram. Unfavorable. Abhut. Shall happen. Amushya. Of him. Kim. Nothing. Ka va arta. What interest. Apta. Obtained. Abhidatam. Of the non-devotee. Svadharmataha. Being engaged in occupational service. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful, On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport. As far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender under the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, it is well and good. But it happens sometimes that one surrenders himself under the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the histories. Bharat Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in the next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chittaketu also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering under the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there is a chance of falling down, because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamil is one of them. Ajamil in his early life was a devotee, but in his youth he fell down. Still, he was saved by the Lord at the end. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Badijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschanyadeshatarine. So, regarding today's verse, there are many examples in ISKCON as well. Back in the 60s and 70s, many young boys and girls, they dropped out of college. They gave up their material success to become devotees, and some of them were unsuccessful as devotees. They fell down from Krishna consciousness. They dropped out of college, they gave up their college degree, become a devotee, and they failed as a devotee. So it seems like they failed doubly, materially and spiritually. So one would think, well, maybe it's better just to stay in the material world and be successful there, because I give up my material success to become a devotee, and I don't become successful as a devotee, then I'm a double loser, one may think. But actually, this verse is pointing out there's no loss. Any devotional service one does is his permanent gain. Even if he falls down, whatever he did is his permanent asset. It's never taken away, just like Ajamil, you see. He had a very bad fall down, but yet, because of that devotional service he had done earlier in his life, he named his son Narayan, and by that chanting of Narayan, the Vishnu Dutas came. He was saving the Yamadutas. And so in this way, there's no question of loss when one engages in devotional service, even if you don't perfect it in this lifetime. Whatever assets you accrue by every single mantra you chanted, every single offering you made, every single arti you offered, every single book you distributed, every time you offered obeisances, every time you heard the lectures, every time you glorified Krishna to somebody, every little thing is being noted down by Krishna. And it's your eternal asset. So you can't really lose by taking up devotional service. Therefore, we should just take up devotional service with full enthusiasm. And actually, whatever material success we were meant to have is according to our karma anyway. So you don't have to be in anxiety about your material success if you focus on Krishna consciousness. Whatever material success you were meant to have, it will come anyway by its own accord. That's karmic. But your spiritual life, that is not within the realm of karma. That's up to your own desire. So therefore, one should focus on Krishna consciousness. We were asked last night, how do you prioritize your material duties and your spiritual duties? And I explained to the people that the way to prioritize is always put your spiritual duties first. Because these material duties, everyone's doing material duties. Duty, duty, duty. So many duties. Everyone's doing duties. And where does it take them? To another material body. That's all. So this duty of Krishna consciousness, this is primary duty. It's not that the material duties are neglected. You don't brush your teeth. You don't, work to pay your rent. Not that those are neglected, but those always have to be seen as secondary. Always have to be seen as secondary. So my first business in the day is to get up and chant my round very nicely, to observe the Mangal Arati, come to the temple or have Mangal Arati at home. You see, have a nice Krishna conscious morning program. That's my first duty. And then second of all, I think about, my job, maintaining my household or whatever I'm doing, you see. That's secondary. By always putting Krishna first, then everything will be seen in the proper perspective. Why am I maintaining this house? Why am I maintaining this apartment? So I have a nice facility to practice Krishna consciousness, you see. If you don't put Krishna first, and you'll become just like a karmi. Well, to enjoy my senses. You see? You have to always put Krishna first. Always. That is the proper way to prioritize material and spiritual duties. Vidyam shavidyam yastad vedo bayam saha. Described in Mantra 11 of the Sri Yusha Upanishad. Nescience and science, knowledge and ignorance, both have to be properly engaged. So this material energy, it is the ignorance, and the spiritual energy is the light. You see, the light and the darkness are both there. You have to engage everything in Krishna's service. So in this way, if we prioritize the things properly, actually we won't be a failure, either materially or spiritually. A devotee's quality is he is expert. He's expert in everything. One who actually becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness, he won't be a loser in any way, materially or spiritually. Why? Because one who is Krishna conscious sees everything properly. Even the material energy, he knows better how to deal with it than any karmi, even a devotee, you see. Because he understands what is the material energy, how is it working. Karmi, he's ignorant. He may be successful, but that's simply due to his past karma. Devotee sees everything exactly how it is working under the direction of Krishna, through the spiritual energy or the material energy. He sees everything working properly. Therefore, in every way, a devotee is successful. Fixed up devotee is very successful in every way. So therefore, we should focus, we shouldn't neglect our material duties. If you're going to school, you're working a job, you should do a good job, do a first-class job. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did a first-class job for the British government. But do you think he considered his most important daily activity to serve the British government very nicely? No way. He took his Krishna consciousness as the purpose for his existence. His service to the British government was just something to maintain body and soul together, that's all. Simply to maintain body and soul together. So in this way, if you always prioritize Krishna consciousness, then you'll see everything in relationship with Krishna. You'll see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. You can go to your office and say, oh, this is the energy of Krishna. This is all existing within Krishna. Therefore, it is all meant to be connected with Krishna. So in this way, one can always be Krishna conscious in every situation. So I can ask now if there's any questions. What is that license?
That we should fall down, do all the anarthas.
Where is that license?
I'm saying, does this...
Does this verse give... No, of course not.
Does this mean?
There is no license for falling down. Well, Krishna is very kind. Thing is, you fall down, you'll suffer, that's the thing. I mean, Maharaj Bharat, he had to suffer in the body of a deer. How much Ajamil suffered serving this prostitute. He was an 80-year-old man and he was still having kids. Can you imagine? He was so much over serving lust. So don't think that this, the mercy of Krishna, oh, Krishna is very kind, so I'm going to go ahead and fall down and enjoy my senses. You will suffer like anything if you fall down. Don't fall down. Next question. If a person has killed an animal for food in this his early life, but later takes to Krishna consciousness, will this person still get bad karma in his next life? If one fully surrenders to Krishna, he'd be relieved of the karma of killing that animal. That's the thing. Krishna says, Sarva-pāpebhyo-mokṣayiṣyāmi. I will deliver you from all of your sins if you surrender to me. But if you don't surrender to Krishna, you'll have to take the reaction for killing that animal. Is there a big difference in attending Mangal Arati at home and at the temple? Of course there's a big difference. You have deities like this at home? There's a huge difference. So if you can come to the temple, you live close enough, and you should come here. It's a huge difference. You can't compete with this deity worship in your home. If you're close enough, come here. If it's impractical, it doesn't give you enough time to get your round done and get to work on time, then you do it at home. It's a matter of practicality, but ideally, everyone should come to the temple. Now I'm saying that as someone who's not been coming to the temple, because it's an impractical thing. We have small deities, we have to worship them. It wasn't practical for us to come here and do our deity worship every morning. We have small Radha Krishna deities. That's why I'm not coming. But otherwise, generally everywhere I go over the world, I attend the Mangal Arati at the temple. I think it's the only place we don't do it because of practicality. Every place we go, we attend at the temple.
We go to the temple.
This is a practicality factor. If there's some practicality factor, you can have Mangal Arati at home. But the ideal thing is to have it come here. If you're too far away, it's If you it depends how far away you live. But if it's practical, the ideal thing is to come here. Because this deity worship is a beautiful deity worship. This Shri Shri Radha Golokananda, they're very, very beautiful and powerful deities. If one can come here, one should come here. So this is why it's recommended just to keep some simple worship at home so you don't have to do deity worship at home. Like if you have Gornitai deities, you don't have to do puja at home. You can just leave, just give them some, feed them and come here. Prabhupada wanted the devotees to worship in the temple as much as possible. So we advise keep your worship at home very simple, so it's not that you have to, you could come here for the Mangal Arati. You don't have to have the Mangal Arati at home. That's why simple Gornitai deity worship or photographs is the ideal thing. Because you can neglect that, there's no harm if you leave them aside and come here for Mangal Arati. If it's practical for your family. If a non-devotee invites you for Hare Krishna Kirtan at his place and offers you prasadam, will you accept? First of all, I'm going to lead, I'll go there and I'll lead the kirtan. Of course I'll go. But if they're leading the kirtan as their program, no. But if myself or other devotees can go and lead the kirtan, if Arjun is leading the kirtan, yes, I'll come for sure. Yes. If I get to lead or other devotees are leading the kirtan, yes, then we can go. And if they're sincerely trying to take up this process of Krishna consciousness, then I may take their prasadam to encourage them. If they're sincerely trying to take up, follow Prabhupada's, if they're trying to join Prabhupada's movement, they're in the process of coming to this movement, we may take their foods. But if they're definitely not going to be a part of ISKCON, they're just doing their own thing in their own speculative way, I would not be so inclined to take their foodstuff. Some devotees say they won't take prasadam cooked by a non-devotee because they will take their consciousness. Depends on the situation. If Prabhupada would take, Prabhupada in his life membership program days took prasadam in so many life member homes because that was part of the deal. We will come and take prasadam if you become a life member. That was part of the deal. They were making big donation. So Prabhupada would take and he had all the devotees take too. So it depends on the situation. If they're actually engaging in big service, you may reciprocate by accepting the prasadam. If they're going to give a $10,000 donation for the temple, you may take the prasadam and encourage them. See, but they just want you to come and eat. You see, there's a difference. At time, unknowingly and without any intention, when talking to devotees, some word used is misinterpreted by devotees and they feel offended. And later, some other devotees tell you that the devotee was offended. Is this considered as Vaishnava Parab? Yes, I would say the other devotee committed the aparad. If you didn't mean anything, you weren't all being offensive, they took it as an offense, that's their opera. What about karmis that are engaged in sense gratification but still attend ISKCON festivals and make donations and never asked, how would they progress in the spiritual path? They definitely progress. Anyone who takes a book or takes a calendar, gives a donation, even if they give just 1 rupee, anybody who does any little thing to this movement, they are making progress. That's a fact. Sometimes devotees give more time for Krishna consciousness than time for their work. And the boss puts pressure on the devotee. What does the devotee do? You better please your boss if you want to keep your income. You have to balance it well. Of course, you can be very clever also. I never forget the example of my godbrother. You've seen that book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers? You have that? Yeah. I know that devotee. I served with him in Houston. Brahmatirtha Prabhu. Bob Cohen became Brahmatirtha Prabhu. And it was quite interesting. We were a Brahmachari temple, just all Brahmacharis, but there was one householder, and that was Bob Cohen, Brahmatirtha. We had one householder living on the outside working for Conoco Oil Company. He was a geologist. But every year during Janmashtami time, he took the responsibility to do the souvenir book. And he actually cheated on his job. He would go to some library there his job. He put a little note on his desk, "I'm in the library" or something. And he would spend his time at work doing the Janmashtami book. And he had it covered so nobody caught him doing it. So if you can get away with it, hey, no problem. If you can get away with doing devotional service on the job, there's no harm. But you have to be able to catch the big fish without getting wet. Another example is my god nephew, Kuvera Prabhu. He was working, you know, in a computer programmer, but was what I would call a very low stress field of computer. He was a computer programmer for the Houston Parks and Recreation Department. Talk about a low pressure job. So anyway, they have a deal in the U.S., I don't know if they have it here, where you can come, I forget what the name is, you come in early and you leave early, you come late, what do they call it?
Flex
hours, yeah. So at his job, there was flex hours, so he would go to work late and come home late. Now, at the temple, he would bathe and dress the deities. He bought an empty lot across the street from the temple and built his house. He sold his house in suburbia and built a house right across the street from the temple. So he would come every morning, he would do the deity worship. And chant, and then he wouldn't chant his rounds, he'd do the deity worship. And then there's a big traffic jams in Houston during rush hour. So he would go after rush hour, he'd go to work, and he would stay late. Everybody must have been gone, he would chant his rounds at work while he's being paid, chant his job at work. And then come home in the evening, and he was very Krishna conscious. And he had that job, he was a very highly regarded employee by his boss and everything, but he was chanting japa at work. He had his work done. It's not a problem, you know. So if you can pull it off, if your job allows you to do that, there's no harm. But, you know, if you're not in that position, you better please your boss so you don't lose your income. He may have to have a nice Saturday. You may have to learn how to sleep less if they're putting a lot of pressure on at the office. You know, you have to work hard. Household of life means you have to work very hard. It's not an ashram for lazy people. You got to work hard. You see, you got to say you have to work hard at your job to please your boss, and you have to work hard off of work to please your spiritual master. You see, it's not for lazy fellows. Household of life means you have to. One devotee told me, household of life means you have to work like an ass, support your wife. That's what one householder told me when I was a brahmachari. So you have to do the needful to keep your job. You don't want to, unless you don't mind, you know, finding another job. You have to just be practical. That's all. As you said, that material engagements, achievements will come anyway. Does that mean we should not make any endeavor for a bodily maintenance? No, you have to work. Everyone has to work. There's a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Everyone has to work. But the result of that work, that will come according to your karma. Recently, one person stole a deity set from the temple gift shop. What will be the consequences? Not very good. Stealing from the temple? Oh my God. Stealing a deity? Well, what deity did he steal? Anybody know? It's a very bad thing. Steal from the temple. They get a reaction for doing that. Not that, well, I stole Krishna, so it's okay. No. They get a reaction for them. They'll suffer. It's very offensive to cheat the devotees. It's a very, very offensive thing to cheat the devotees. They will suffer. Any other questions? That's the end of the questions here. This is my last lecture now before we head out to South Africa tomorrow. So this is your last chance. Any last question? Huh?
What time is your plane?
What time is the plane?
Yeah. And you can come tomorrow for the...
Oh, we could give another class tomorrow? I don't remember. What time do we usually leave for the airport? It's the same...
Time's 11.
Huh?
You leave at noon?
Oh, we could give another class tomorrow then. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody else may be scheduled though now, because I wasn't scheduled. Huh?
Somebody has Dhamudar Swami will be giving class.
Someone's already scheduled for tomorrow. So all right. I guess that way we can focus on packing and not leaving anything behind. Like last time. Such a rush to get to the airport. They had to come to the airport and deliver something to me. So, we can focus on packing peacefully and make sure we don't leave anything behind. I remember somebody had to rush to the airport last time and bring something I left behind. So we don't want to do that again. Okay, so if there's nothing else?
Yes.
Something else? Yeah.
In America and Europe, there is a famous fraudulent investment called So some devotees they were trying to they didn't try, they cheated other devotees into that fraudulent investment business.
They cheated some other devotees in what way?
In fraudulent business.
For what?
In a fraudulent business. Investment.
In what?
Business.
In fraudulent investment.
Business.
Business dealing? Ooh, that's very bad. That's very, very bad.
Big time.
They cheated out of big money? Oh, that's a very, very simple thing. Cheat a Vaishnava? Oh, heavy reaction. Vaishnava Parad is very heavy. If you do it with karmi, then it's like getting money from Krishna. But even then, if you're using it for your own sense gratification, it's also bad karma. But to cheat another devotee and use that money for your sense enjoyment, very, very bad karmic reaction they're going to get for that.
It's called the Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme. Oh. I don't envy those persons. Yeah, I don't envy them. They cheated. Ponzi scheme means they cheated many, many people. That means they have to come back and be cheated again and again and again and again by every person they cheated. They have to become cheated by that person. Karma, the laws of karma are very strict. In the name of Krishna consciousness, you win the trust of some devotee and then you cheat the devotee. Oh, very, very severe reaction. That's the worst thing. In the name of Krishna consciousness, you use that for cheating someone. Very, very severe reaction for doing that. You should never try to make profit off. Even Prabhupada said for selling devotional paraphernalia devotees, we should do it practically at cost. We shouldn't make money off devotees, Prabhupada said. Shouldn't make money making business off of devotees, that's what Prabhupada was saying. We should be always thinking how to serve the devotees, how to serve the devotees, how to serve the devotees. That's the proper move. Okay then, so we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
It's great, Sankarshan Dasa Dikari Prabhu Ki Jai.